I have a curator of Ashland, the Henry Clay Estate, Eric Brooks, on the phone. And there is an important hemp symposium coming to Ashland, the Henry Clay Estate on Saturday. Talk a little bit about that.
That is quite correct, Alan. This week is the National Hemp Heritage Week, and it's a commemoration of, or the intent is to highlight the importance of hemp in America's past and how it might now become important again in its present or future. Certainly at Ashland, hemp was a major part of the story for this estate. It was Henry Clay's cash crop. It was one of his major sources of income over the course of his whole life, starting from the very beginning when he established Ashland all the way through. And not only was it important for him here personally, it became important for him publicly as well, because he became a staunch advocate for Kentucky hemp on the national and international stage. And in so doing, that advocacy ultimately informed and molded his political ideology. So hemp is really a critical thread in this entire story, to use a rather appropriate metaphor. So we're having Henry Clay's Hemp Symposium, which will feature a variety of speakers, which will explore the history of hemp in Kentucky and at Ashland, and its present and future in the state as well, as we look to the reestablishment of this industry here in Kentucky as a potential economic growth engine, something that could stimulate our economy and take us forward into the future.
All right, so you're open from 1 to 7 with this. What's going to happen in those 6 hours?
That's correct, 1 to 7. At 1 o'clock, we will begin our actual symposium. We will have a series of speakers, some historians, some people currently involved in research and in legislation, including Kentucky Secretary of Agriculture Ryan Quarles. He'll be here to help us inaugurate our hemp plot. We do have hemp growing at Ashland now for the first time in 140 years. So we will cover, like I say, the past and present and even future of hemp in Kentucky. And we'll have some producers who are making products who can tell us what sorts of things are out there that we could create from the crops that we are growing. That will continue until 5. We will have a tour of our hemp plot at 5:30. At 6 p.m., we will have a dinner, which is being prepared by local celebrity chef Jeremy Ashby of the Azure Food Group, Azure, Brasabana, etc. This particular dinner includes ingredients provided by a man named Chad Rosen, whose company Victory Foods specializes in hemp food products, hemp flour, hemp oil, hemp seeds, and so on. And he will be using these ingredients to create a variety of dishes that include them. We will also serve with that dinner a couple of adult beverages, which include hemp. So it's a unique opportunity to see the ways that hemp are being used in food products that are becoming much more available than they used to be even just a few years ago. So that dinner is $75 a person or $100 a couple. Tickets are still available. There is a limited number, 75 in total. So if you want tickets, we urge you to buy them now as soon as possible, as they may sell out. And we also have to be working with our caterer on numbers, so we need to get those sales in as soon as we can.
The symposium itself, that's free, but the dinner will cost the $75.
That is correct, yes. The afternoon events are free and open to the public. The dinner, as I say, is limited to 75 tickets. And there are some still available, but not many, and they are going fast.
Eric, talk about the importance of the comeback of hemp in 21st century Kentucky.
Well, Kentucky is uniquely situated to grow hemp. It has always been a state where it grew well. In the antebellum period, in Henry Clay's era, we were the leading producer in the nation and led the United States in producing hemp on an international stage as well. And I think we can do so again. That opportunity certainly exists. There are a myriad range of products from which one can make from hemp or hemp parts, be it clothing or even foodstuffs, as we've discussed, seeds, oil, that sort of thing. But even things as varied as car dashboards. Tesla is already experimenting with hemp dashboards. There's a company in Louisville that I think is doing that, and I think there is a hope maybe someday that that could be a product that is sold to Toyota, and that hemp grown in Kentucky could become dashboards in your Camry or your RAV4 or your Lexus or whatever. Hemp can be used to make concrete, which makes very, very nice very durable houses. It's really remarkable the wide range of products one can generate from hemp. And I think we're still learning what those products are and how successful they can be. So that's an ongoing part of this process. And I think there's no question that if we can get this going and get the legislation that is needed to make it fully legal and make it possible for growers to grow it on a scale which is truly marketable, which will provide a good income, and that those people who are growing it can then send it to people who can manufacture it into things, that the economy in our state will benefit a great deal. We're already importing, I think it's $600 million worth of hemp or hemp products a year to the United States. So if we're going to use the products, we might as well make it possible for our economy to benefit from their manufacture.
Okay, and I think it's also important to explain why hemp got banned in the first place.
Yes. Well, that happened mostly in the early 20th century. There was this real movement against marijuana, reefer madness, et cetera. And I think it was sort of an attempt to just eliminate any possibility of marijuana use, et cetera. They just lumped it all together. It was just easier to ban the whole thing than to separate it out and come up with ways to deal with it otherwise. So it got banned at that time, and it's really been banned ever since. And it's still classified, essentially, alongside marijuana and other similar drugs, even though it has no properties which are in any way useful or can cause any of the sorts of effects that marijuana or other drugs cause. So there's nothing it can do that necessitates its ban based on what the effects it will have on a person.
I appreciate your time, Eric, and let's hope you get a good crowd for the Hemp Symposium on Saturday.
Thank you very much, Alan.